better known as an opportunity to play with denominators.
Yeah, I've got kids in elementary school, so they can always help me with these difficult legal concepts. Your Honor, I'm Scott Smith of Shorecrest and Burgess, representing Trial and Steel. I know that the panel always hears some lawyers who say the trial judge below made a mistake, but this is one of those rare appeals where I know that is the case. Even opposing counsel agrees the trial judge, in her words, was clearly erroneous in one of the three key rulings before the court. And what we're really struggling with and disagreeing with is what should the appellate court do about that, because we're dealing with...
That's the question, your question. Where is Bayside? They're not in this appeal.
I don't know where Bayside is.
Were they served? Have they been treated as a party to this appeal? I mean, one of the things you're asking for is to vacate their dismissal from a case, right?
I really am not sure why Bayside is not here. I was thinking about that as I was preparing the last couple of days that, you know, for reasons that I'm scratching my head as well, why isn't Bayside here? Because...
But you serve them with briefs?
I'd have to check my office. I'm not sure.
Okay, go ahead.
So what we're disagreeing with is what should this court do to remedy the trial court's errors? The case goes back to actually 20 years when a fairly local infamous cleanup started at the Western Processing site. It was one of the first big Superfund cleanups. Fast forward to the early 90s, and we've got...
Just to go back for a minute, as far as I can tell, they weren't served the brief. I'm looking at the brief. It was, you didn't serve. You only served Kimberly Grieco.
Okay.
You did not serve the lawyer for Bayside. That may be why they're not here.
That could be it, Your Honor.
Pretty hard to vacate a dismissal against them when they're not here. But go ahead.
All right. In the late 80s and early 90s, the case had been litigated fairly aggressively, and parties were starting to settle. There were actually two basic lawsuits going. One is what we called the Boeing and American Tar case. They were trying to recover monies from Tree Island and other parties that had some share in the cleanup. And parties were settling with Boeing and the American Tar Group. One of the parties that did settle was Bayside, and they entered into a settlement agreement. And then they turned to the trial judge and said, we've now settled. We'd like you to dismiss other parties' claims against us for contribution. And the trial court granted that relief over Unocal's objections. Tree Island, within a month, presented the exact identical order. The trial judge said, we have also settled with Boeing, and we would like the same dismissal of any contribution claims by Unocal and other parties. And to our astonishment, although we had sent a check to Boeing for over $500,000 in order to buy peace and get out of this lawsuit, we were still in it. The trial judge changed his mind, did not follow the same order that he'd entered in favor of Bayside, and kept Tree Island Steel in the case. Now, the key order, which actually preceded those two orders, was what we've referred to in the briefing as the 1990 order. And that was the order entered by the trial judge when he approved other similar settlements that other parties had entered into with Boeing. I think there were 23 parties. And the court laid out the game plan to get out of the case completely. And I'll concede that that order laid out a game plan that said that in order to be absolved of liability from Unocal, you need to either settle with Unocal.
Let's assume you're right. Okay, let's just get to the bottom.
Yes.
Let's assume you're right. You made a mistake. Then what?
Well, the implication was that at the trial, when we essentially presented stipulated facts to the judge and said, now we'd like you to decide what Tree Island and then one other defendant's volumetric share and fair liability would be, the trial court had Tree Island suffer the consequences of not including Bayside. He never changed his ruling that Bayside had no liability. As a result, he took nearly 1 million gallons out of the...
Well, that hasn't been established.
There's a dispute,
right?
Over there.
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
About the what? Over the quantity?
Amount. Dispute over the number.
No, I think we're in agreement on the exact amount of... Yeah, no, there was... We knew all of the numbers by every single party. I'll let counsel address that, but I believe that we were all in agreement as to the exact gallon to the...
Attributable to Bayside?
Attributable to Bayside. That wasn't the issue. It was that none of Bayside's nearly 1 million gallons was included in the denominator. And, of course, numerators and denominators. We're the numerator. We want the denominator to be as large as possible. Unocal wants to shrink it. And so the court said, I ruled that Bayside has no liability to Unocal. It's not going to be part of this equation.
He never explained why.
He never explained why. And Tree Island kept insisting, well, Judge, that's not fair. I mean, we were the exact same party in an identical legal position, and why should we get the same benefit?
You're not asking for Bayside to come back in, and you're not asking for you to be let out, but you're just asking for this to be taken into account in the denominator of the fraction.
I think that's the appropriate result, although when the court looks at the two inconsistent rulings, letting Bayside out of liability and keeping Tree Island in, it is possible for this court to reverse the Tree Island order and give us the benefit of the Bayside protection. But I will concede that then that would be inconsistent with the first of those three key orders, the 1990 order, which did really lay out.
And it wouldn't make any sense. I mean, there's no reason why Bayside should have been dismissed or why you should be dismissed, because these two cases dealt with two different things.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor, because we both, Bayside and Tree Island, had contributed various amounts of waste to the cleanup, and both should have been responsible. And we've never fought the notion that we're not going to pay our fair share. The question is, what should that denominator be when the court did its allocation?
Well, I got the impression that Bayside thought it was only responsible for 855 gallons.
No.
At the trial court. There was an agreed amount attributable to Bayside?
Yes.
947,414?
Pardon me?
947 and some thousand?
Yes, I know it was 900 some thousand gallons, and that was the figure that Unocal and Tree Island both agreed was Bayside's volumetric share of liability.
And Bayside may not have agreed to that, but Bayside wasn't there.
That's correct. And I don't know whether they agreed or not, but we all were in agreement that that was Bayside's share.
Where's Bayside?
Yeah, and that gets, yes.
But if you add them into the denominator at this point, it doesn't make any difference because they're out, right?
But only if the court upholds the order that both counsel agree was erroneous to let Bayside out. The order.
They're not here. I'm very nervous about doing something to them when they're not here.
Okay, I can't explain why they're not here. I don't know why Unocal did not.
All right, how do we order them back into the case? That seems like an elemental violation of due process, doesn't it?
Well, it may be then that the court.
Guess what? We had a hearing, you weren't there, you lose, you're back in the case. Bring your checkbook.
Yeah.
I don't know how we do that.
You appealed this case, right?
We appealed the case, and we appealed. But we did appeal the Bayside order, and I'm not sure why.
You didn't put them in. I mean, they're not served.
Put the shoe on the other foot. You got the benefit.
I don't disagree, but I don't.
But you're a good lawyer. Put the shoe on the other foot. Mm-hmm. Switch the parties. You didn't get served. You're sitting over there out. You're saying, boy, did we get a good one for this. All of a sudden, you get a letter in the mail saying, you're back in. You go bonkers. Where was my due process?
I think given the procedural posture, the court can do one of two things. It could say, you guys need to go back and bring Bayside in. This case has been fouled up. You should have been brought in. The
first
second.
You started out by telling us this case is 1,000 years old. We want to make it 2,000 years old?
Yeah.
The endless case. Second.
It is a very long case. The other is to rule on the denominator issue. I assume you'll ask counsel for Unocal, what's your explanation why Bayside's not here? You tell this court the Bayside order was erroneous. They should have been required to pay their fair share.
Settlement recently, right?
Pardon me?
Got in. But there was a settlement that Bayside was in and that Unocal was in.
Was Bayside in that settlement? Yes.
Well, we'll ask her.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recall if Bayside was in that settlement.
And you also want to expand the denominator by adding in the non-settlement.
Yeah, that's another issue which has to do with application of the Uniform Comparative Fault Act and the case law that says that when you divide responsibility among the parties, you look at all the solvent, non-settling parties, you look at their shares, and here everybody agreed it would be volume, and you include that in the denominator. The trial court left that out. Unocal did not pursue those parties, did not establish that they were insolvent.
That's a big
They were
figure.
Sued. That's a very large figure.
Huge.
Well, it makes a big difference to Tree Island. Tree Island, if you look at all of the volumetric waste shipped to this particular site, Tree Island had about 75,000 gallons, which was 1/4 of 1%. And as a result of the trial court's ruling, Trailin was held responsible for nearly 3.7%, a 15-fold multiplier. Now, some of that increase is going to be due to the fact that you've got orphan shares and people settle out and the like, but a big part, as the judge noted, is because the court did not include in the denominator those defendants who were sued by Unical who were not established to be insolvent or orphan shares.
Should the there was an assertion in the pretrial order by Unical that these people were either insolvent, not finable, or de minimis. And that was the last it was heard of. There was never any evidence put on of any.
There was no evidence at all on that issue.
So is that the problem? There had to be some evidence?
There needed to be some evidence. The law creates a presumption. Pardon me?
There was never a stipulation or an understanding or a waiver?
No, no. The court creates a presumption.
The trial court afterwards?
Pardon me?
There was no finding by the trial court afterwards?
No. The court made no findings on that issue of their insolvency. Now, I don't.
Did you object to their dismissal?
Oh, yes. Yes, we filed motions for reconsideration. And, again, our two issues were always, if you're not going to reverse the order imposing liability on us and give us the benefit of the Bayside order, then, and this is the same thing arguing in this court, then one of two things should happen. Either Bayside's waste should be included to dilute our proportionate share. Well, not or, but and, in addition, those defendants who were sued and who the law presumes to be solvent, their waste should also have been included.
Now, as to those people, would we remand to find out whether they're insolvent, or is your position that the trial's over and they didn't prove
it? Our position is the trial is over. Unical sued them. There's a presumption that they are solvent. The court had data about their volumetric share. It should have been included. I don't think we need to remand to have further findings on what their shares were. That was before the trial court. They should simply be included.
Therefore, if they turn out to be insolvent or non-findable, whatever, it's Unical's problem.
That's Unical's problem, and I don't think it'd be. Pardon me?
They could go after those defendants.
Well, this was their opportunity to do so. I again, I don't know when they formally dismissed them or simply didn't pursue them, but they were named defendants. Okay.
You want to permit the other side to talk to us and then respond?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Kim Greco representing Unical in this matter. I'd like to start by saying that one factual issue that hasn't been noted up until this point in this hearing is that not only did Unical name tens of severals of parties as additional third-party defendants in its contribution action, but cross-claims and or counterclaims were asserted by Tree Island against those very same parties as well. So to the extent that Unical or Tree Island had the burden to show insolvency or unavailability of those parties and therefore shift the burden for their absence to the other, that burden was the same. Unical had just as much, Tree Island had just as much incentive to show that.
Only going, except it's sequential, and I think. That you have the joint and several liability, and if you don't prove up the insolvency, then you're going to absorb the joint and several liability for the people that you haven't proven are insolvent. So then there's no – their cross-claim is only for anything that that may be attributed to them with regard to those people, but nothing may be attributed to them if you haven't proved up in the first place.
That's a fair point. But we believe that because of the tenor of the proceedings at the time and the involvement of Tree Island, Unical was jointly and severally liable. Tree Island was severally liable to Unical. But the result of what Judge McGovern did didn't establish any sort of joint and several liability on the part of Tree Island. The judgment that Unocal has against it is a several judgment, and it is not responsible.
You're essentially making them jointly liable for these phantom parties.
They're saddled with a higher share.
They are saddled with and what we believe to be an equitable share of the absent party's volume. It may have been more mathematically precise for Judge McGovern to do this in a two-step process.
Equitable? I don't know. How do you use equitable to decide who owns what if you're using volumetric?
But volume wasn't the only thing that the judge was using when he made this determination. Yes, volume was one factor, but his decision to use a denominator as opposed to any other number of denominators that could have been devised by the parties was, in essence, him selecting how to apportion orphan shares apportionment of orphan shares as one of the factors.
Orphan shares. I mean, there's a predicate here, which is who has to prove that they're orphans, as opposed to just ignoring them.
Well, we believe that any party at the trial bore the burden to do that. We believe it was as much in the interest of Tree Island to do that as Unocal.
Why? You were the plaintiffs. You were seeking to get money from Unocal. You were seeking to establish the amount that you were entitled to from Unocal. Usually the plaintiffs have the burden to prove. So why do they have the burden to prove?
Because they were, in essence, third party or
but only after you established the liability. So let's leave that out because it didn't happen. If you established the liability and now they wanted to go after these other people, that would be different. But right now we're trying to figure out what is the amount of money for which they're liable to you. And you need to establish that.
Well, we're looking at it from the point of view of Judge McGovern exercising his discretion as afforded by the statute to select what factors he's going to use.
So you're arguing that he could simply absolve you of your responsibility to prove the offer.
Not necessarily absolve Unocal, but spread the responsibility for those absent parties among the participants at the trial. That was a factor which he was able to employ in his discretion pursuant to the statute.
Is that really what he did?
That's not what he did, though. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to characterize something, and I'm having trouble matching that up with what he actually did. You're saying he sort of could have, maybe he did, but that isn't what he did.
I think it would be more explicit, perhaps, had he used a two-step process and through the first step determined Unocal, Tree Island, the other co-defendant in the trial, and the orphan share, and then went ahead and apportioned that orphan share in step
but
two to increase everyone's volume.
He didn't do that, did he?
No, he didn't. He didn't. He took a shortcut. He used a mathematical shortcut to
right.
do it.
So how do we – I mean, your first argument was, well, he did this. He equitably apportioned. But you have to admit, he didn't do it.
But equitable apportionment doesn't necessarily mean mathematically precise apportionment. It's not fair what he did. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to Unicom.
Aside from how he apportioned the orphan shares, he never made a finding – about why these orphan shares were not there.
That's right.
Correct.
Before he ever got to apportionment, mm-hmm. He never found that these people were in fact – we're not talking Bayside now. We have to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
everybody else. He never found that they were insolvent, unattainable, or de minimis at all. He just ignored them.
Right.
Were they dismissed or just didn't take place? Play a part in the
they didn't take part in that particular trial. Unocal did contact many of them afterwards in an attempt to pursue them for their responsibility. There were some settlements with some of the parties, but there were also some parties that just couldn't be found, were defunct, couldn't be served, what have you.
Well, if you pursued them and you settled with them, then you got double recovery on top of everything else.
I'm sorry?
Then you got a double recovery.
Sorry.
If you pursued some of these people and settled with them, then you essentially got a double recovery.
Yes.
Maybe. the argument, though, is that if Tree Island paid more than its proportionate share, it, having sued, named those parties, could have pursued them like Unocal did to obtain their fair share of what it was required to pay in excess of its share.
But the only possible rationale for the result was that they don't exist. If you're now going after them because they do exist, let's leave them aside. Let's get to Bayside now.
Okay. Right?
First of all, where is Bayside in this appeal?
Unocal has initially appealed the issue of Bayside's dismissal from this case, and there was a global settlement reached wherein Unocal and Bayside settled those issues that were part of this appeal.
Last year?
Yeah, early part of 2003. So Bayside has been dismissed. They were already dismissed, but Unocal has released them from any further
participation. But Tree Island has an independent interest in having Bayside back in, and they haven't dropped their appeal. They just somehow didn't serve them, but they have appeal from that judgment.
Right. And that's the remedy that Tree Island has as far as Bayside is concerned. If this court feels that Bayside is was improperly dismissed, or claims against it was improperly dismissed with prejudice, the remedy that Tree Island has is to pursue Bayside for whatever Tree Island paid that should have initially been paid by Bayside. And I don't think that this court has to bring Bayside back into this case in order to make this right. Bayside was dismissed improperly by the court.
So that being the case, what possible, if we were to decide that, and both of you are telling us that, and it certainly seems that there's no rationale for it, then what is the rationale for leaving them out of the denominator?
Well, you need to look at where the parties were at the time and what Judge McGovern knew at the time. I mean,
But he made a mistake, all right? He was wrong. He should not have dismissed them. So now, why don't we have to send it back and say, at least you have to put Bayside into the denominator? There's no reason they should be bearing the share of that.
Because at the time, he attempted to account for the absence.
He was wrong about that. And although you settled with Bayside, why can't we go back and say they at least have to be in the denominator?
I'm not disagreeing that it wasn't an unfair outcome, but there were a lot of things that were not fair to all the parties in this case. You know, Judge McGovern disregarded toxicity as a factor to apportion liability. Unocal's hazardous material deposited at the Superfund site was less toxic than table salt.
All of that may be right, but the precise question we have is whether or not to put Bayside's number back in the denominator. And it seems the answer to that question is only you have to put it there.
I think the effect of Judge McGovern's apportionment methodology that he used, his selection of the denominator.
But they've appealed this.
I'm sorry?
That may be true, but you didn't appeal all that, and they've appealed this. So now we have one issue. We don't have the toxicity issue. We don't have the volumetric issue. We don't have any of it. We have this. Mm-hmm. Right? As to this, why isn't it true that he, having erred in dismissing Bayside should go into the denominator?
Because we believe that by apportioning liability the way that he did and selecting the denominator that he picked, that he essentially accounted for their absence, and that Unocal's volume was higher than it would have been had Bayside been there, and the other defendants at trials, percentages of liability were higher than they would have been had Bayside not been there.
Is that reflected in the record that Unocal's volume was higher because
Bayside? I'm just speaking from a mathematical point of view. There wasn't a specific finding that the court made on that point. But if there was another party with $1 million in its column, or 1 million gallons in its column, everybody's liability would have been reduced accordingly, percentage-wise.
Is there a dispute over the volume attributable to Bayside?
Not at this point.
So you agree it's 947,414 gallons, mm-hmm. Not the 855 that's floating around in the record somewhere. So.
That was Bayside's position, and they're not here. unless your honors have any further questions,
is there any way in which the settlement affects this case?
I'm sorry.
Any way in which the settlement affects this case?
I don't believe so. I believe, just as any settlement, is based on a variety of factors, you know, some of which may include the potential outcome.
If you had settled with Bayside before, how would it have affected the case?
Before the trial?
Yes.
Unocal's volume at trial was calculated by adding the volume of waste Unocal sent to the site, as well as the volumes of waste of the parties that Unocal had settled with prior to trial. If Unocal had settled with Bayside prior to trial, their volume would have been included.
And so it would have affected, would have, the effect would have been that island, that Tree Island would not have had to pay, would have had to pay less.
That's right.
Correct.
We got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I listen to the questions and the answers, it's now coming back to me. Bayside, I think the reason they're not here is they did settle with Unocal.
But they didn't settle with you, and you're trying to get their dismissal overturned.
Well, the effect of overturning their dismissal is to include them in the denominator. As the court, as you just asked, Your Honor,
I know, now I'm
realizing that. At trial, properly, everybody agrees, the judge calculated for Unocal's pot its volumetric share plus the volumetric share of everyone with whom it settled. Because as part of the settlement, Unocal says, you pay me and I'll take care of your volumetric share. I think the simple solution is that this court remands the trial court to recalculate based upon the volumetric share of Unocal and everyone with whom it has settled. That is another way to get Bayside's volume in without dealing with the problem of, gee, why wasn't Bayside served with these appeal papers? And I think that may explain why we did not bring Bayside with these. Pardon me?
A slightly different effect for you because it wouldn't get all the orphan shares.
Well, that's a separate issue. I think separately the court needs to do that. We've got two things to increase the denominator. One is to include Bayside, and inasmuch as we sit here today, Unocal has settled with Bayside and presumably has agreed to accept responsibility for Bayside shares, then Tree Island would get the benefit of them being brought in. So that's the simple.
This case is a declaratory judgment action, right?
Yes.
No money's exchanging hands right now as a result of this judgment.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Because first you have to...
All we have right now is a percentage number and a judgment.
So, therefore, the fact that the settlement has now occurred really changes the facts that are relevant to the ultimate question of who's going to pay what later down the line. In other words, it was a declaratory judgment action at a point in time, but it's not really fairly going to project...
Not at all.
Because the facts change now because they've now settled.
Yes, and a practical result, Tree Island, if this judgment stands, is going to be paying a lot more than its fair share because we now know that with this appeal having been filed against Bayside by both Unocal and Tree Island, it settled. It's now agreed to accept responsibility. Now, I don't know as I sit here what its exact numbers were, but it's agreed to accept responsibility. So as a suggestion to get out of the procedural issue the court properly raised, a remand to the trial court with instructions to recalculate the denominator to include those parties that have settled with Unocal would effectively get trail in the same result of including Bayside.
Where's Judge McGovern from?
He's a Seattle-based judge.
A Seattle-based judge?
Yes, he's been on senior status for...
He's still sitting is what I'm getting.
I believe so. He doesn't work a whole lot, but this is one case I think he still has on his docket. I think he's on senior status when he started the case. I mean, it's remarkable, but...
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking...
They go on forever.
Well, but I don't think a remand, even if there were a different judge or he completely retired, it's a very straightforward mathematical thing to do. The parties agree on the numbers. It's just simply a matter of do you or do you not include Bayside in the denominator, and do you or do you not include in the denominator all of those presumably solvent defendants that Unocal served. Let me make one other point. Counsel argues, well, we had asserted boilerplate cross-claims to the judge saying...
She didn't say boilerplate.
Well, I'll say boilerplate.
I knew
because
what I thought you might.
We always do that. It's like, well, of course, if you're going to do that, Your Honor, we also ask that you do it equitably and allocate contribution appropriately. Why in the world would Tree Island or the other defendant in the case want to benefit Unocal at trial by proving insolvency? The burden was theirs. And on a practical level, the consequences of their failure to prove it falls on Unocal because they're presumed admissible, I mean presumed solvent. And being presumed solvent, they're going to be included in the denominator. We're not going to go out of our way to prove that.
The presumed solvent basically comes from common law.
From case law, yeah. And I could discuss various case law, but there's a good reason why when the court allocates liability among all the parties brought before the court, you presume they're solvent. And if they're not solvent, you prove that fact, and then you reallocate shares. That's Unocal's burden. We would not step up and try to help Unocal by proving they were insolvent.
After listening to a bunch of these cases, I'm amazed that anybody is still in this business anymore.
Which business?
Dealing with anything that's hazardous, chemicals, waste.
Yes. Well, unless the court has other questions, I'll rest.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case just argued is ordered submitted. Break. Yeah. We'll take a 10-minute break before calling the last case on the calendar.